from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline. Welcome into football season. You can join Sal live today. September 5th, 10 to 12 today. Sales going to be at the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. That's from 10 to 12 today. Stop by, grab a Paula's Donut. While supplies last, score some awesome WGR 550 swag and enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. See you today at Northtown Kia. On location today, on a beautiful day today, Sal, for football season. Feels good.
Yeah, we're back, baby, right? We're back. We are here. I mean, it's the longest, my apologies, it's the longest off season in sports. It's the longest season in sports. So the shortest kind of season, I should say. So it's the longest off season, right? Hockey, yeah. These guys, they're off for like 2 months and back at it. NBA is three. NFL is like 6 months, basically. You're off. Now, you have training camp. You have a lot of different things going on. But it's a long wait, and of course, it's now the most popular, watching sport in America. So we're here. We got first game tonight. Got first day of school for Buffalo Public Schools and a few other districts, I think, in the area today. And we have Northtown Kia today. I mean, come on, let's go. Yeah. We got a lot going on.
I thought about asking this just as a general topic a little bit later, and I'll start it with you, Sal. When do you think football got like this for everybody in this country, right? It was... 20 years ago, baseball was king. Maybe 30 years ago, whatever. When did this happen, that football got a hold of the country in a way that no other sport has really ever, I shouldn't say ever had it, but you know what I mean? Like, when did this all happen?
I think it happened with the TV deals that came about in really the 80s. That's when it started happening, and then it just grew from there. Really, the 90s is when you saw the rise in Sunday night football, and then some Thursday night football started coming into play. Late 90s, early 2000s, I think, if you want to look at the timeline there. But really, the new TV contracts that you were just, you saw football all the time. And it wasn't just, you know, when I was growing up, it was you had your 1 o'clock and your 4 o'clock games on NBC and CBS at the time. NBC was AFC, CBS was NFC. It's the way it worked every week. You had your window there to watch, and that was great. And people went, and, you know, if your game wasn't a sellout in your home market, you know, it wasn't even on TV, it wasn't shown like it is now. I would say Monday Night Football certainly changed the landscape, but that was in the 70s.
Yeah.
That helped. But I agree, Jeremy, that baseball was still, even when I was growing up, like, people still referred to baseball as, you know, America's game, America's pastime. At some point, that's become football, to be quite honest with you. Baseball started dragging longer games. You know, football, I think that because of how many eyeballs it got in front of for everybody, and really, honestly, if you really want to go into the history of it, you know, Pete Rozelle was the guy who did all that. Pete Rozelle, before Paul Tagliabue, you know, had the idea of all the how they wanted to put it on TV, how they wanted to market it to people, and then, you know, Tagliabue after that. And it really, I think, to me, that's what happened with football.
I got a text from my buddy Paul who made a great point here. There's two other things, you know, internet, but I would add that to Sunday Ticket, the ability to see every game out of market.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And,
yes.
And fantasy. How much did fantasy football...
Fantasy's a big, big one.
Right?
Now, yeah.
How much did fantasy football do for this sport?
Well, and what's funny is, you know, people played... It was called rotisserie baseball. That you ever hear the right rotisserie baseball, right?
Yep.
Rotisserie baseball is fantasy baseball. That was actually before fantasy football. I remember I actually started a fantasy league. Some of my buddies might be listening. They'll remember. I was in 11th grade at Cleveland Hill High School, and this was in 1989. And we did a fantasy football league because I read about it in a magazine, about a baseball magazine. Oh, and like, hey, you're fantasy football. And it was like, what is this? And we would go to the store, and I'd buy the USA Today every morning on my way to school. I'd do it in homeroom. Sorry, teachers, do all the, you know, the stats by hand. But I remember the reason why was because rotisserie baseball, fantasy baseball, was happening. And then fantasy football just exploded right after that, to be honest with you. Like, 1990s. It started happening, and now everybody plays it. Plus, I think gambling has a lot to do with it, right? For all these things.
Yeah.
Gambling is such a big deal, and it's so embraced now by everyone.
Yeah, it's just different ways to care about games that don't involve your own team, right? And you'll get that tonight. One reason you could, if you're a Bills fan without gambling or fantasy, care about tonight's game, Sal, before we get to the Bills themselves, is Xavier Worthy's debut. How much are you paying attention to him, or are bracing for the inevitable Coleman, Worthy Bills connections as that, you know, his career starts tonight?
Until I saw Jeremy's tweet this morning, what was your tweet about Worthy with the W's?
The Worthy Wars begin tonight.
I love it. I love it. Always creative, Jeremy. I love it. Until I saw that, I didn't think a single second about it. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
I never thought about it. Like, it's literally nothing on my mind about Worthy versus Coleman this entire offseason. I know he's there. When there's a viral video of him either making a catch or getting knocked down, we talk about it. When there's something about Coleman and then someone nationally brings up the trade, we talk about it. I'm telling you guys, not kidding. I have not thought a single second about these two guys. This is not, to me, Eichel and McDavid. I thought about that a lot after it happened, right? And having a chance to have them and drafted and losing out in the lottery. I don't know. Maybe I should think more about it. Tonight, I'll probably think more about it when he makes a catch, but I don't care. I just think that I don't think they should have that correlation. It's the same thing. It actually is the same thing to me when people say, in fact, my 10-year-old son says this to me sometime, Dad, because he's 10 now. You have to remember, this would have been when he was 6. He goes, Dad, is it true the Bills could have had Justin Jefferson? And I'm like, yes, but let me explain something to you, right? Like, you do what's best for you at the time, and there's no guarantee, right? We all know how this went down, and we can revisit it all we want. The Bills had a choice. They could have taken Xavier Worthy. Mm-hmm. They said, we don't want that player. So they decided to trade, and they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs, who wound up taking that player. I don't think about it. I just don't think it's really, yes, they're going to be tied together, but until one or the other either becomes a superstar or flops, I don't make that correlation that often in my head.
To just further get to this point, I don't make it about Worthy versus Coleman at all. I don't, you know, the correlation, all that. For me, it's only about, are the Chiefs going to succeed in what they were trying to do? Like, that's because, you know, the Bills are chasing them. They've got to chase them down. If the Chiefs succeed and the Bills succeed, well, then there we go. You know, we're going to watch these two teams continue to battle it out. So that's what it is for me. Whether he has one catch for 80 yards or six catches for 40 yards, it's about whether or not the Chiefs are able to do what they wanted to do. You know, Sal, like,
You talk about this a lot, the evolution of the game, and we saw the too high shell was supposed to shut down quarterbacks like Allen and Mahomes and make you go dink and dunk. And different teams have different responses to that. One of the things the Bills wanted to do, right, is 12 personnel, Kincaid is a matchup issue, maybe run more effectively. Like, they've had their answers, and, you know, the Chiefs are trying to find their own answers. So just – it's always fun. Like, this time of year, it's, all right, enough talk. Now we're going to see how these teams, every team executed their offseason plan, how they look having executed it. And the Chiefs and the Ravens, I mean, these are two teams that are, of course, super relevant to the Bills because last year these two played longer than the Bills did.
Yeah, and of course, they're two teams you're battling with in the AFC, you know, which is interesting that we can talk about in a second, but I'll say, they also had changes, right? Both these teams had changes, and we know that the Chiefs have overcome changes anyway. And people think that they'll be better this year. A lot of people think because they added to Hollywood LeBron, who won't play tonight, and Xavier Worthy. The Ravens, Derrick Henry, they lost some pieces on defense. They have a new defensive coordinator because theirs went to become a coach in Seattle. So a lot of changes for both these teams. And, you know, every year is a different year. Every team is a different team, as Sean McDermott will tell you as well, for the Buffalo Bills. So I'm interested tonight. And the Chiefs don't usually start the world on fire.
Yeah.
They're not a team that comes out of the gate super hot under Andy Reid. They lost last year to Detroit at home. Remember, a couple years ago, they had kind of a slower start. So, you know, we'll see what to expect tonight. I am wondering, I asked Matt Bove this question, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I said, who should Bills fans be rooting for tonight? And then I asked a few other people. And the general response is, well, I mean, Bulldog said, it's the Chiefs. You got to root against them, right? You're a Bills fan, which I totally respect. Matt Bove said, I think Bills fans should root for, Bulldog said root for the Ravens. Give the Chiefs a loss, right? That's, you're a Bills fan. Give the Chiefs a loss.
Uh-huh.
Bove said root for the Chiefs because they're going to win anyway. They're going to win the division. Like, what? Might as well give the Ravens another loss, right? Because I just think it's fascinating. Like, either way, I think at the end of the day, Bills fans will want to see the Chiefs lose a game. You have a lot of games here to play. Give them a loss on the national stage. It's always nice to see for Bills fans.
Let me pull up the New York Times playoff machine real quick. Hold on.
There you go.
I just, whatever it tells me to do is what I end up doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see myself, though, getting to the TV. It's like, I could sit here, Sal, and I could make the case. I don't think the Chiefs have a real hole. Like, and even if they did, I don't think I'll get through the regular season and start doubting the Chiefs as we get towards the playoffs. Versus the Ravens, like, I'm wondering. Like, their line might be really bad, and their receiving core is back to being a question mark. So, again, I don't think it's likely that they're going to fall apart, but I have more questions about the Ravens. I'd like to see those exposed. I just can't ever see myself having questions about the Chiefs.
I mean, how about rooting for this? Both offenses look stoppable, right? I don't want them to have good offenses.
But even if I say that, like, the moment the TV turns on and the game starts, I just don't think it'll ever happen in real time where the Chiefs are on. I'm going, oh, good, Kelsey just caught a 15-yard pass.
So root for a low-scoring game here. Root for the under, right? Yeah. Then you'll be a little more confident.
17-10
sure.
Again. Yeah. On to the Bills, Sal. They're getting ready, of course. Yeah. It's a game week prep for the Arizona Cardinals. We're waiting for captains, and we got those. I was saying to Joe, I kind of almost yesterday made a little joke, like, I wonder if it's just going to be only Josh Allen because, you know, they're turning the team over to him. And it's pretty close to that. Granted, there's the leadership council, but the captains of Josh Allen, Terrell Bernard, just two, not even a special teams captain, just two guys getting the captaincy and a leadership council, which is something that I heard yesterday on One Bills Live, them talking about this leadership council. It's something McDermott has had pretty much throughout his time here.
Yes.
So that's not new.
That's right. He always has. They try to have leaders in every room. They have a leadership group, a leadership council. And the difference is this year, though, out of that, there's not actual official captains other than the two, Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. I also find it the way you do, Jeremy, and how you wondered about it. I think that's really good insight and foresight by you, because let me tell you what happened yesterday. We were in the media room and me and Josh Reed and a couple others were going through how many captains that they had over the last several years. It always ranged from 6 to 8. Some years they had 6, some years they had 7, some years they had 8 under Sean McDermott. So we were like, okay, let's give the 8 names it's going to be today because they'll probably have 8. And then they come out with 2 and we're all like, wow, like nobody had, they only had 2. And I agree with you. I think this is intentional of, what we've seen all through the offseason. This is Josh Allen's team now. Everything they've done, a lot of the things they've talked about kind of point to, hey, Josh Allen is the unquestioned leader. He's an elite quarterback. He's an MVP candidate. The guy makes over $40 million a year. I'm not saying the Bills are necessarily saying that, but you know the way it goes, right? This is the guy that, like, he's the guy. He's been a captain, of course, since 2019. We looked it up. But that's the voice. That's the guy. And this gives, to me, what yesterday did, which was just reaffirm that they really want to give ownership of leadership to Josh Allen. And another step in that. This is not him leaning on other people or hey, there's a lot of guys around that they can be these leaders. This is, hey, you're the leader. Yeah. You're the one captain on that side.
It's
not Deion Dawkins, not Connor McGovern, not, you know, Khalil Shakir, not Dawson Knox. It's you. And on the other side, it makes sense. It's Terrell Bernard. He's the middle linebacker. He's a leader in his own right, but that's generally how it goes anyway.
I've seen, you know, Pittsburgh has just Russell Wilson. The Jets have only Aaron Rodgers as captain. So it's not something unique to the Bills to have only one captain right on that offensive side of the ball. But that said, Sal, like as part of this conversation about, you know, turning it over to Josh's team, do you think there's any sort of message to him that they're sending about this? Like, you know, step into this role more so. There was a little bit of a rumble about that. Tim Graham had a report earlier in the year that maybe, you know, they're ready for him to take a step in this direction as well. And how they arrive at, you know what, we're going to keep the number low and we're looking at you. We're looking at you. Is that a message to him? Not just about him, but to him.
Yeah, yeah, Jeremy, I think it is. But I think that message started back in March. I think that message has started to come out really since the offseason, since they started losing for whatever reason, by choice or not, that they lost Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, basically. Right? He's not on the team now, and I know he's a free agent, and Mitch Morse and Saran Neal and Tyler Medikevich and Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. I mean, think of the leadership. I think ever since that started happening, there's been messaging along the way, whether, you know, I don't know the internal messaging that's going on behind closed doors and them talking to him, but it seems like there's always been, because I noticed it. I tell you, we can go back. You can rewind me coming on with you guys in April. And I remember saying on your program here, boy, it's interesting to me. Like when they talk about Josh, the word leadership keeps coming up, a different leader, a new leader, like a leader. Like it was always something that was being taught. And Josh too. It wasn't just McDermott or Bean. It was Josh Allen talking about that kind of leadership and being a leader. And I just found it interesting. That was happening to me back in March and then April when they showed up for workouts. So, yes, I think it is a message to him, but I don't think it's like some overarching, hey, we're just going to do this now. You better go be a leader. I think this has been something that's been building to now.
All right. And I do wonder how much that correlates. Not, this doesn't have to be a bad thing. Like, I think about moments, even last year, Sal, where, you know, like, who's the alpha? And do they want Allen to be more of that, an alpha, in that room or just in the organization? Like, last year, I remember when he was having a tough go of it against the Jets in the opener. Like, who was coming over to him, giving him a pep talk, like, trying to get him back into it? It was Diggs. Again, like, the Diggs part of it doesn't always have to be bad that he was an alpha. But now that he's not in the room, you know, you still have Dawkins and Knox there who have been here, but, you know, I wonder if they kind of want Allen to be more like that. I don't know if he'll ever be raw, like in your face, but maybe he'll act different just because the room is different.
Yeah, listen, I think, too, part of this is when you have, and again, whether some is by design or not because of this reason, we know that they have a new wide receiver room, right? A brand new wide receiver. The only player on this team that caught a pass from Josh Allen last year in that room is Khalil Shakir, or ever caught one in a regular season game. These guys are all new. They're coming in wide-eyed playing with, I'm playing with Josh Allen. That's really awesome. Like, he's walking in. These guys are walking in already looking up to him, to me, as a leader. Already looking up to him as an elite quarterback that I get a chance to play with and catch passes from. The other thing that I've heard coming out of player press conferences, interviews, talking with players, they want to be great for Josh. See, and I think that's part of this, right? Which is, you've designed this team and this room and this roster construction now where these guys are coming in. And granted, like, look, everybody, you want to be great for your teammates all the time. But I'm telling you, guys like Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, like, coming in here, along the way, there's been messaging from them when you talk to them about, Like, yeah, they want to be great for Josh because he's great and they're catching passes from him. And I think that's all part of what this whole plan was, to be honest with you, going back to March.
Sal, Sean McDermott says yesterday that Damar Hamlin will start at safety, yeah, opposite of Taylor Rapp. He had been listed in the depth chart before that, but we get it from the coach. I guess, how would you describe his offseason, how he's looked to you, and also what expectations should be for him at the start of the year?
I think he's had a good offseason. I think he's had a better offseason than a lot of fans might realize because, you know, when you see that and his name is in lights, there's been quite a bit of a negative reaction from a lot of fans that he's starting because they remember plays against Miami or wherever getting beat deep. But look, this has been happening since April, May, really since May, where, I mean, in May, in OTAs and minicamp, he was one of the best players on the field. Now, it's minicamp, they're not hitting each other, but he was good. And then I think I want to describe his offseason overall as steady. I think he's been steady. I think he's a guy, he understands this defense better than anybody in that room, maybe other than Cam Lewis, for the long, they're the guys that have been here for a while. I think the Bills are very comfortable with him back there, even if fans aren't, all while knowing he's not quite the, you know, athlete, let's say, that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are, that necessarily going to make the plays that we've seen for 8 years. But I think they trust Damar to understand how to line up, where to line up, because you're still working through with Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop. Now, some of that might be because Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, even though Cole Bishop was a full participant, Mike Edwards has been, they're still ramping up and getting back after all the time they lost and getting used to the system. You know, I think one thing we all can probably agree on, that one thing that's really, really big with Sean McDermott, and maybe the most important thing playing a position like that, is the word trust. It's not necessarily who the best, quote-unquote, player is going to be. It's the guy he can trust the most. And I think right now that's Damar Hamlin for the Buffalo Bills, and that's why he's starting at safety on Sunday. It doesn't mean he's going to be the starter for 17 games. Heck, it doesn't mean he's going to be the starter 5 nights later in Miami. This could be part of it, too. As I keep saying, you know, when you have guys that are coming back and getting, you know, they've worked their way back from injury, you got to kind of think a little bit about, you know, the fact that you have 2 games in 5 days and making a little bit of load management here, too. Maybe that's a little part of it. But I'm telling you, the word trust is why, to me, Damar Hamlin is starting at safety.
Sal Capaccio, injury report, fairly clean, a lot of full participants, yeah, that's good news. Mitch Trubisky is the only real question, and Sal, you know, that's a player that ideally would not play in this game unless he's like kneeling and out in the fourth quarter.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But Trubisky is knee injury and limited.
Yeah, Javon Solomon actually, an oblique injury, didn't practice yesterday. So, you know, I don't even know if he would get a game day jersey. I think, you know, the inactives, we could talk about that. But, you know, you're right. Trubisky is the one that you're looking at from a roster standpoint of what it would impact. Because if you have to have a healthy backup quarterback. Because you never know if Josh Allen even has to go outside. He has to go tie his shoelace for a play. Who knows? And, you know, if you're not super comfortable Mitch Trubisky, you're going to have to elevate Mike White to be your number two. And, you know, or you're going to have to go, if you want Trubisky, who's not quite ready. I mean, these are things they have to decide. So that is something I think that, you know, McDermott and the staff are just going to have to kind of work through this week and how it all looks.
All right.
All right, good news. Good news on the injury front, just that we could kind of save it for the end and not spend a lot of time on it, right? Because they had had some injuries during the preseason, and here we are game week, and it's, a fifth-round rookie is really the only one that we're really wondering about.
I mean, you go back 2-3 weeks ago, it was the great injury freakout here, you know, with Bills Mafia. But this just happens every year. Now, maybe this year there were a few more or a little more frequent or a little bit later in the preseason. But this happens every year, guys, and I say it every year. The Bills play the long game. They understand their goal. They want everybody to be ready week one as much as possible. So they take stock in what's happening, and they'll start to adjust things throughout the preseason to make sure that happens. And here we are. And it looks like pretty much everybody's ready to roll week one.
So Capaccio, he'll be out today. Again, there'll be a Northtown Automotive Extra Point show on location today from 10 to 12 at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. So stop by, say hi, and get up to Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, today at Northtown Kia. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Sal, as we gear up for tonight's opener between the Chiefs and the Ravens from Arrowhead, and then, of course, Packers-Eagles, fantasy football, frenzies, all that good stuff. We've got an Arizona guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, a Baltimore guest at 9:30. And they're bringing us food today, too.
We're getting French fries.
The waffle fries.
Waffle fries.
Yeah. The Arizona versus Buffalo. So it's a battle boat. It's a big 2-foot boat of waffle fries with an Arizona side to it and a Buffalo side to it.
Yeah. They battle.
Yeah. I don't think you actually throw them at each other. And you just, like,
no, I believe that is what you
do. Oh, you have to do that?
You throw them. It's a giant food fight. No, I don't think that's what they want.
Pew, pew, pew. Yeah. Like you throw the chips at the other side.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, whichever side gets eaten first by the group, that side
wins. That's the winner.
That's a very organic process. All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Okay, when we get back, I did something yesterday that maybe you would not advise. Probably several things. But one thing. I went back and watched the final drive of Bills Chiefs, the last game they played. And the main reason I did it was because I had been looking in the box score. I was trying to look into what they were doing. And there is a play in that drive that I have never heard anyone mention since that game that the world completely forgot about. You remember the Diggs drop? You remember the throw to Shakir? You remember the kick that Bass missed?
The fake punt?
The fake punts before that.
Yeah.
The last drive has a play that no one remembers. I want to talk about that next. Whose theme is this?
I don't know this one.
The graphic shows the NFL Network logo and the NBC logo, but it's Thursday Night Football. It's also from 7 years ago. Wanted to see if you
This is inactive.
Gotcha. I want to see if you guys could figure it out.
Never heard it. No, I can't. I might have heard it, but never in my life. No.
The NFL has put out a cool graphic that they do every year. One player from every team standing in front of the location of the upcoming Super Bowl, which this year is the Superdome.
New Orleans.
In New Orleans. So it's one player from every team. And, of course, as I think they would do every year, the guy, and recently especially, the guy standing the closest.
Mahomes.
In the middle is Mahomes.
Yeah.
There are two other players on his, let's call it,
his flanks.
Two other players that are next to Mahomes staring at the Superdome.
Okay.
From behind. Who are those two players?
Lamar?
No. Lamar is in aisle two. He's in right in front, directly in front of Mahomes.
Burrow?
Nope. Burrow is weirdly, I mean, I don't have to take it too seriously. Burrow is like not on the graphic. No, sorry, he is. He's on row four. So not Burrow.
Jared Goff.
No. Allen's one of them.
Oh, okay. I figured Allen wouldn't be or else you wouldn't be asking
no,
me this.
Allen is standing right next to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not actually asking because of Allen. I'm asking because who is the other quarterback standing to his left?
Hurts.
It's Mahomes center, Allen on the right, and then who is next to Mahomes and Allen staring at the Superdome?
Jordan Love.
No. No. Neither.
Do I have to name all 32? Who is it?
Caleb Williams.
All right.
Who decided that? The guys directly in front of them, Rodgers, Jackson, Stroud, and McCaffrey are the four right in front of those. But it's, hey guys, who should we put in the very back? Like they're the closest. Who staring off at the Super Bowl location? Mahomes, put Allen next to him, and let's put Caleb Williams next to him.
Yeah. How many non-quarterbacks?
McCaffrey.
Like T.J. Watt.
Micah Parsons. T.J. Watt is correct, yeah. Miles Garrett. Mike Evans, Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave. I mean, who would you put for the Saints? Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, Max Crosby, DeAndre Hopkins, way at the front. You can hardly see him. The guys at the way front, you can hardly see. Max Crosby, DeAndre Hopkins, Patrick Surtain, and someone named Lawrence the Second.
Trevor Lawrence?
No, because Trevor Lawrence is in the middle.
I think it's a Giants player.
Dexter Lawrence.
That's who they picked for the Giants? Dexter Lawrence?
I guess so.
I mean, you can hardly see him. He's in the nosebleeds.
Yeah. All right, so I went and I watched the final drive of Bills Chiefs. Why would you do that?
The day the season begins, where we're finally ready to move on to 2024.
I went back and I watched that final. I actually watched the
whole drive?
I watched the second half. I watched the whole second half.
How long did that take? There's the condensed
Yeah, it
games,
took like
right?
5 minutes.
Without commercials.
That
okay,
does not take long at
that's
all.
That's right.
So I watched the second half. I watched the fake punt. Yeah, okay. That happened.
Where they alerted everybody that basically they were going to do it.
I watched the Mecole Hardman fumble.
Yep.
Because he fumbled out of the end zone. The Bills caught a break there. He was 3 microns from being down.
It was reviewed, I think.
It
wasn't
was. It? Yes, yeah. It was. The reason I kind of went back and watched it, I sometimes I do this, and I watched the Texans game. When the Bills lost to the Texans and they blew that 19-point lead, 16-point lead, I remember watching that game a second time, and it was fun to watch because the Bills were so good that first half, and they caught bad breaks. And
Houston playoff game?
Yeah, you watched the Houston playoff game.
Also, the second half is so chaotic, it's unbelievable to look at.
It is absolutely incredible. You cannot believe...
it's insane.
Multiple times, you cannot believe they lost the game. And it's also...
You also can't believe they came back to tie it. Allen took a 40-yard sack.
I know.
With like a minute left, and they somehow got the ball back. It's a crazy game.
It was on something crazy. So anyway, the final drive of the Chiefs game. Things I did not remember. I also, by the way... Like, the Bills had their fake punt, and then there's the fumble out of the end zone, and then the Bills get the ball, and the Chiefs get it again, and the Bills have to force a punt. And in true Mahomes fashion, like get ready to get mad tonight. Because, okay, this is before the final drive. Before the final drive, what happens? The Bills stop the Chiefs. Holy cow, they did it.
Really quick side note. Do you know how they stopped them? Did you watch the third down play?
Well, there are depends which third down play.
Okay, because the one play I have in my mind is they finally got around to putting Dorian Williams in the game, and he chased Mahomes out of the pocket and prevented him from scrambling to the sideline.
That is correct. That's how they got the Chiefs off the field before getting the ball back for the final drive.
Right.
Right before that, they had stopped the Chiefs, and I'm sure you'll see it tonight. You got the third down incompletion, Mahomes points, and here comes the flag. Pass interference.
Oh, yeah.
Defense. A third down pass interference.
I remember that.
Mahomes, don't forget, he's good at a lot of things.
He's the good thing at the point.
The thing he's the best at in the world is telling the official to throw the flag for him. Hey, you owe me. Boom. It's out. It was late.
Well, they didn't want him to, you know, flip out and cry again.
I found myself getting so mad as it's third down, incomplete. It's enough time for them to switch camera angles, and then a flag comes across the screen like, oh, here we go. We're going to get more of this. Anyway, on to the final drive. On this final drive, you know, it's Allen. There's some design runs. It's a lot of quick throws. Quick throw to Kincaid. A throw to Knox where he picks up a first down and he gets hit and he's shaken up on the field. They throw to Diggs a couple times. I did not remember that they had thrown to Diggs. One of them is batted at the line, right? It's a quick throw to Diggs, not there because it's batted down. Another time he's looking for Diggs on a short pass and it nearly gets picked off. Their passing offense after the big, huge throw down the field with the drop. After that, it's all dinks and dunks. It's all short passes. Everything is so short. But there's one play that nobody remembers. And you're listening right now like, I bet I do. Maybe. I couldn't find anyone that remembered. I asked a lot of people about this game yesterday. Third down, I only know of this play existing because I was going through the box score. And I watched it just to see this play. Like, was it a scoring error? Mm-hmm. Was there a fumbled snap? Josh Allen fumbled on that final drive.
Mm-hmm.
And not just fumbled, but like ball out, two Chiefs hands on it.
Yep.
And then Spencer Brown gets on that ball and the Bills continue their drive.
I watched it too. He's like the only Bill in the – it's like one on three.
Yeah. It's another one of these plays where – the Bills are kind of fortunate. Like they were unlucky, the Bills, in the way that they were injured. They were unlucky in the way that, well, if you want to say it's unlucky that Diggs dropped that ball. But in this game, Diggs fumbled on the first play. They got it back.
Yep.
Hardman fumbled out of the end zone for the most punitive fumble you can get. And Allen on the final drive fumbles into space.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer Brown's back on that ball.
So they were 3-for-3 on fumble luck.
I don't remember if there are other fumbles, but on those three,
okay,
yeah.
These three, they were 3-for-3. Yeah.
But the thing that it got me thinking about for this game was, like, batted balls, short passes. It got me back into thinking about the season as a whole. And the change from Dorsey to Brady, one of the things they were able to do is complete drives. They looked a little more buttoned up. But even in this game, Joe, it kind of reminds me, like, as you said, that Houston playoff game was chaotic. This game, this Chiefs-Bills game for the Bills, they couldn't get anything down the field. They had the Diggs drop. They had the Sherfield drop. It was another game where they were sloppy. The one thing that this offense really probably needs, and I wonder how much like this is a message for McDermott. Like, what do you want? You know, explosive plays, balance, blah, 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 blah. We talked about this the other day about the turnovers. I mean, Dorsey got fired because the guys turned the ball over. Dorsey probably gets fired because James Cook had a couple of fumbles and a pass went off of Gabe Davis's hands. Like, it wasn't Dorsey's fault they were turning the ball over. And the switch to Brady was, in large part, to clean things up. And even in the playoff game, while they were efficient, I guess, they moved the ball, they put up their points, they were still sloppy. Ball on the ground. You know, Allen is the most overrated quarterback in football because of turnovers, and people don't trust him because of turnovers. And here's one where on the final drive of the game, just like that Houston game, like he's running for a first down, and he gets hit, and that ball's on the ground. Like, sloppy. And if there's one thing you might want from the Bills this year, it might be Allen on fumbles. It might be the sloppy part of it. because interceptions, it's going to happen. I'm okay with it. He's winging it down the field. There's no such thing as a arm punt fumble. The ball's on the ground. You're taking chances there. And taking chances with the ball. That Houston game, right? He has that lateral play, which...
Yeah,
whatever. I would still defend that play.
What?
I would defend that play.
Why? You have before?
Sure, absolutely.
You've defended them lateraling the ball to Dawson Knox on the final minute of a playoff game.
Yes.
Was clearly not ready for it.
That's his fault. He also tried to letter a ball to Isaiah McKenzie in Kansas City 2 years ago in a game that they won.
Ooh.
Whatever.
Over under half a lateral for Josh Allen
this season?
This season.
Over. I hope it's over. I'm into it.
I think I agree. I think he will lateral a football this year.
I'm ready for chaos, Josh Allen. I'm ready for another season of, you know, it's really going to be about staying on schedule. I feel like this is where the conversation's going, though. Like, seeing that fumble on the final drive, what happens if that gets recovered by the Chiefs? What's the offseason about? What do we talk about? Allen, ball,
it's more about
security.
Turnovers, right?
I mean, sure, the Diggs drop would have been before that, but ball security...
Yep.
Cleaning things up. And I just wonder how much that is a message for this offense this year. Cleaner. We've got to be clean. They were such a sloppy team last year.
All over the place. He did only fumble 7 times, which was... He had 13 the season before that. Mm. So he's kind of been back and forth. He had a 14 fumble season earlier in his career. So he was down to 7 last year. That does not include playoffs. And that's fumbled and lost. Or, excuse me, not recovered by yourself and... It's just how many times you fumbled. Doesn't matter who recovered it. Yeah.
Crazy. What a finish to that game. They get down the field. They run a fourth down play to Khalil Shakir.
Did you mention the two plays before the fumble, by the way? The two plays before the fumble are both targets to Diggs that are just 1,000% uncatchable. Like, quick throws to Diggs, the first of which is, like, at the ground, no chance. Second of which is actually at the Chief player.
It was almost a pick.
It was
almost intercepted.
Yeah, and Diggs kind of puts his arm up and knocks it and makes it tougher for the Chief guy to catch it. McDuffie, I think it was.
But then they get down close, and they run on first down, and the second down throw to Shakir, and the third down throw out of play. And it's just kind of like, there it goes. And then the other thing is, I watched the Tyler Bass kick, which I had not done that before either. Right, I was at the game, and I was mad when Tyler Bass walked onto the field. I think the Bills should have gone for that fourth down. So I had never gone back and watched the kick to hear what Jim Nance said during the kick.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard this?
No.
We should be more upset with Jim Nance. He did the thing.
Did he say something he's never missed a kick under 50 in the playoffs.
He didn't do that. Here it is. Here's Nance as Bass lines up to take this kick.
Lines it up, not even like kicking it.
No, lines it up.
Okay. 44 yards, Bass.
Before that. He talks about how McDermott has total faith in Bass even though he went 1-for-3 last week. He says if we need him to make a kick, he's going to make it. And then he misses.
That is the jinx.
The coach says, go ahead. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get some calls on this.
When we come back also, the Kelseys have come out with a cereal. Did you see this?
Is it?
You'll never guess. You could take 1,000 guesses. You will never guess what is in this box.
A bunch of C's. It's Kel C's.
It's called Kelsey Mix.
Okay. Great.
Also, I have Caitlin Clark, stat of the day, when we come back.
Possibly get the first down with a quick move.
And now here's Bass. We talked to Sean McDermott after his 1-for-3 performance last week. He says he has tremendous support in the building. If he has to make one for us, the game on the line, he will.
Oh, my gosh, Nance.
How about that announcer jinx?
Nance. You can't lead in. You can't right before the kick.
Yeah, I told you.
You can't do that. Never you seen say him. That after the kick. If he makes it.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. 803-0550. Talking about that Bills-Chiefs. The last football game we saw. Man. Last time, you know. There's a game tonight. Chiefs and Ravens. Mark and Tonawanda quickly. Mark, hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jeremy, you're beating us up this morning, man. I can't believe. I feel like you're breaking us down with this Chiefs game to hopefully build us up tomorrow and get us pumped for the weekend. But I watched that, just to pile on that, someone on Twitter posted like what Josh Allen's stats would have been if these drops didn't happen, and that was just 10 times more depressing. But my point is, I mean, can we hold McDermott accountable for this, please? I mean, how much more does Josh Allen have to do by himself? You want to run the fake punt with DeMar? Like, okay, you want to start DeMar Hamlin this year at safety?
Well, he has to right now. Whatever. I mean, like, they don't really have a choice.
Yeah, I get it. You don't want to bring in somebody to compete with Tyler Bass. Like, all right. I just think there's more weighing on Sean McDermott, and there should be, just because he's underperformed in these big games. And we should be allowed as Bills fans to say that. I just don't know why he gets such a free pass. Him, the person, great. He's done so much for this city. I love McDermott. I do. But, I mean, the results have to start coming in, and you got me all fired up this morning. I'm going to have to listen.
All right. I mean, you definitely are allowed to say that. He does not get a free pass. They can't afford to cut Tyler Bass and have somebody else, and anybody else they would sign would be worse than Tyler Bass.
I was going to say, I don't
there's
mind.
There's nobody better. And same on Hamlin. Why is Hamlin their starting safety? He's the best one available to them right now.
Yeah, I don't mind the point. I just would never point to like Hamlin having to start and Bass still being their kicker is like the reason. It's the big games.
Yeah.
It's the playoff games. It's the Chiefs loss. It's the Chief losses.
Yeah, he doesn't get a free pass.
He might from the Bills, but not from fans.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
What three cereals did the Kelseys combine to create their Kelsey mix that General Mills has made? It might be made downtown. I don't even know. It's on shelves today.
And it's called Kelsey Mix?
Kelsey Mix.
Chex Mix?
Nope.
Okay.
Three cereals that probably should never be in the same box.
Oh, let's go with Lucky Charms, Golden Grahams, and Frosted Flakes.
All right, you were one for three. Lucky Charms is in this box. Reese's Puffs is in this box. And Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay, so they're not...
It's a combination of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs, all in the same box.
So this is like going to the soda fountain and getting three soda flavors in one. You didn't actually...
Yes, but...
There's nothing... You just mixed some... Okay, great.
But none of the mix makes any... This would be like going to the soda machine and combining Coca-Cola with lemonade.
I mean...
And...
Yeah, you do everything that's there.
Milk.
Oh, milk would be tough.
I needed something. There's no milk, though, usually in the soft drink machine, I would guess.
NFL season opens tonight. Ravens and Chiefs. Who are you rooting for? I don't even know. I'm rooting to not be mad.
I'm rooting to not hear from Gene Steratore
for 5 seconds. The Ravens being exposed?
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Ravens to have some things exposed about them.
Okay.
Chiefs, I'm just not ever going to think about it. So
803-0550, 1-888-550 on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.